A sermon for the 19th of September 2021, based on James 3:1-12 and Mark 9:30-37. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. Open our hearts and minds to your spirit as we reflect and pray. Amen. I remember being at primary school when I heard that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." At the time, I was not too sure about the truth of that saying, for words could hurt. These days, I have a much thicker skin, but even in my young adulthood, I remember being reduced to tears by sarcasm and angry words. There is no end of things to say about words. Words about words. Words evolve, take on new meanings, often have double meanings or different meanings, sometimes by the way they are said or with what tone. Words can get you into trouble, unintentionally. At one of the churches I worked at early in my ministry, apparently I alarmed some people by thinking out loud. My ideas must have been crazy. But they were only ideas at the time. Words have power, for good and for evil. Words can also be boring. Words can block out another by jamming the space. But positively, words can be educational, inspiring, and loving. St. James would agree with me that the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me," he would agree that that is nonsense. He has a few choice, certainly not mild words, sorry for the pun, for the verbal organ. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Ooh. James' writing on the power of the tongue is superb. He puts it in the proverbial nutshell. All of us make many mistakes. How true. Often we can't help ourselves. Something spills out. We lose control. And we've said something that we later regret. Or we remain in ignorance about how our words were received. I suspect James is writing with some irony when he talks about anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. Who can keep their whole self in check all of the time? With a variety of metaphors, James explains how the tongue, small part though it seems, has immense power. Like the bit and bridle used to make a horse obey its rider's direction. Like a small rudder the pilot uses to direct a large ship. Like a single flame that sets ablaze a forest fire. So we cannot underestimate the power, for good or for bad, that our tongue can do. James then raises that contradiction that with the same tongue we can both bless God and curse another who is made in the likeness of God. This teaching about our speech follows that on not showing partiality and that our faith and our words should be evident in our actions. We are transparent, if not to others, definitely to God, if we say one thing but do another. Lip service just does not cut it on its own. This is inconsistency cannot be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree yield both olives and figs? Can salt water yield fresh water? James is echoing Jesus' teaching from Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20. Where Jesus says, "You will know if they are true or false by their fruits. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Thus, you will know them by their fruits." Now, this teaching should not be reduced to us just saying nice things. There are words that need to be said, and there are words that need to be critiqued. In today's gospel, there are two illustrations of this. First of all, we have Jesus telling his disciples that he will be betrayed, killed, and after 3 days rise again. I would imagine the disciples really only hear the first two. Jesus is quite blunt. Many years ago, I was told I tended to be too blunt. I was not that aware of it, and I think I have tried to be more mindful, but I'm sure it comes out every now and then. But here in the gospel, these are words that need to be said. The disciples had to let go of their illusions of what the Messiah would be and instead listen to the reality Jesus was telling them. He was trying to prepare them for the events that would happen in Jerusalem. And secondly, Jesus had to critique the disciples' own words, the ones they did not want to admit to him when they had been discussing among themselves who was the greatest. Jesus had to tell them they were wrong. The greatest in the kingdom of God is the one who serves, who will welcome a child as much as they would any other person of importance. Perhaps Jesus was foreseeing what James would be writing about partiality. So our words should be words of truth, and sometimes those words are difficult to say. We need the wisdom and guidance of God in how to say such words. But this gospel story also examines us as to how we hear such words. We might note that the disciples fell into silence in response to Jesus both times. The first, out of fear at what he was saying, they did not understand and they were afraid to ask. And the second time, they were silent with shame. Words of truth may not be nice nor reassuring. They may be a wake-up call. To go back to James's letter and the start of this chapter, he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will each be judged with greater strictness." Now, this advice goes beyond school teachers or religious teachers, but really to any whose words have more effect because of who they are to another. Like a parent to a child, an elder to a younger, a long-term member of the community to a new arrival, the experienced to the inexperienced. There are a lot of power differentials that are present in daily life. Certainly we need wisdom in our speech and in our ability to listen. So let us pause and think about how we use words, to exclude or include, to build up or to wound. And how do we listen? With humility and a desire for truth, or only for what we want to hear? And so, in the words of Psalm 19, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.